Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Welcome into Slapshot Radio on Nashville's best sports talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Streaming on the Game Nashville app, coming at you live from the Wholesale Inc. studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Okay. We are not going to let something like a little COVID-19 stop the hockey talk. Not going to do it. Tonight, we're going to be talking with the hockey renaissance man himself, the one and only Jeff Merrick from Sportsnet, going to be joining us. We're also going to be talking about our favorite hockey movie and why. I mean, you know what? There's no games to talk about, but there is still hockey to talk about. It's all brought to you by day one sponsor, Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. Carter Church from White Hart Realtors, the Andrews Group, your real estate expert in Murfreesboro, and the latest additions to the Slapshot Radio family of advertisers, the largest wine and spirit store in Middle Tennessee, Cool Springs Wines and Spirits, and our friends at Lazy Boy Nashville with three locally owned and operated locations in Middle Tennessee. I'm Paul McCann, and our co-hosts are former NHL coach and player Brent Peterson and the host of the Preds Watch Parties, Zach McCann. Coach Peterson, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great. I wish I could be with you there tonight, but I do it by phone, I guess.
Okay, that's okay. We're being safe here on Slapshot Radio. We're making sure that everybody stays away from the COVID-19 virus. And, of course, the host of the Predators Watch Parties, Zach McCann.
Hello, hello, hello.
So, you know what? I mean, you look at what's going on right now. I mean, the pause in the National Hockey League season, the pause in Major League Baseball, the finish of the XFL season, the pause in the NBA. And, I'm sorry, if it wasn't for NFL free agent talk, we'd be in like all-star break in July right now with absolutely zero to talk about except for the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Championship.
Don't knock one of the toughest competitions in North American sports, when you're talking about Nathan's Hot Dogs right there. However, yes, I mean, obviously these leagues have done the correct and right thing. If you look at the world at large right now, it goes without saying that this was the correct move to make. But in the meantime, there are certainly things that you have to move on. And, we saw players being told that they can go ahead back to their usual homes today, with the CDC announcing at least 8 weeks of, telling people that they should not gather in crowds larger than 10. So interesting times, that's for sure.
Well, and Coach, the AHL turned around today and just said don't expect the season to resume before May, which is a real indicator that this may be a little bit longer than we expect.
Yeah, it's turned into a pandemic, and it's just it's unfortunate because you feel sorry for it no matter what sport you're in. The guys work all summer long or whatever to get in shape and be ready to go, and then they have a exhibition, and then they go through the grinds of the regular season, and then they got to go in the playoffs, and they, all the work. They're only 13 games away from finishing that work off to get into the playoffs, and I think we would have made it this year, and it would have been a great series. So now we're looking at canceling everything, not just postponing, but they're going to still hang on for a while, I guess, aren't they?
The interesting piece is when you look at this with the AHL announcement, I mean, you have to figure the longer this goes, the more difficult it gets to start the season up. I mean, when you're looking at a, you're going to have to, I mean, Coach, you're going to have to, I mean, have to do some sort of training mini camp, I guess, before you restart the season if it goes much longer.
You're right. And not only that, but they've got, it's just going to go into August no matter what. And then they start in September. So, I mean, and they're not going to push it back next year, I doubt, unless they can go to 40 or 60 games or some schedule like that. And I don't know how they're going to figure out who makes the playoffs this year if they do go on and go back. So I think they should just, if they're not going to go back right away and it doesn't look like they can, they got to just cancel the season, because there's no use going and having 8 weeks off and then a 2 week camp or a 1 week camp, play the games. You're not going to finish till how hard the playoffs are and everything. And I don't know. Maybe they could go to best of threes or best of fives or best of five, and then a best of seven would be all right for playoffs. But that wouldn't be a true champion, but it'd be better than not.
Well, the kicker is I mean, you see everything being talked about right now. You see, Zach, right. You see the, you know, okay, well, maybe they'll expand it out to 24 teams this year. Or maybe they'll, you know, I mean, look, we remember back, and it wasn't too far ago, when half the season was lost to a lockout. The playoffs didn't start until, I believe it was April 25th. They still did 4 7-game series, and it was done by June 20th. So it's not impossible to get it done in that time frame. But Zach, I mean, you know, Coach has got a really good point here. I mean, the longer it goes, the harder it gets.
I mean, there is no fair way to make it right for every team. I mean, this is just an unprecedented situation we're in at the moment. So for me, what I think the best solution is, or I mean, there has to be a deadline for when they can start up. And I feel like if you're not going again by mid-May, then at that rate, you might as well just cancel the rest of the season and pick it back up again next season at this rate. I mean, do you see that as, you know, the option, Coach?
I was going to say May 1st, but May 15th might be a drop-dead date that if you don't start by then, you're not going to get it in this year, and that's just the way it is. That's what happened. We had about 5 drop-dead dates the last time we had a collective bargaining agreement problem, and we kept going past and going past. Finally, they just had to cancel because there's no time left in the year, and I think this is the same situation. Oh. They're going to have a drop-dead date of May 1st or May 15th, and then again, 5 days to work out and then go into the right into a playoff. And like you said, you're not going to keep everybody happy. Like every team, there's a race in every division almost for one spot there. And well, that's just hard to say. You're not going to make it. He's going to make it. Go on from there.
The most fascinating one, and if you look at the standings right now, just as they lay, you know, with everybody getting through 65 to 68 games in that range, 69 games. When you look at that. I mean, the Predators are in the second wild card. Well, they're in the second, as you just look at it right now.
Well, yeah,
now,
yeah, sure, yeah.
If you turn around, and this is where, you know, just because you call them the Winnipeg Jets doesn't mean they still don't have Atlanta Thrasher DNA, because this will, you know, if they decide to say, you know what, the regular season's done, top eight and every, you know, we go ahead and do the normal thing and use points percentage, the Winnipeg Jets drop from the first wild card to out of the playoffs. That's a tough pill to swallow.
It is a tough pill to swallow, but like Zach said, you can't keep it for everybody. And the other thing too is we're thinking we're going to get back in April or beginning of May. We might not even have this might go on. This situation with the coronavirus, it might go on for till. So July, they say. So if they're still having troubles with people and lots of deaths and lots of people getting sick, I mean, it's going to go right through. It's going to go. And they said at least for 2 more weeks, yet we have to be in our own homes and those kind of things. And you shouldn't go more than a group of 10 people. All these things that they come up with just happened today, and they said we have to do that for at least 2 weeks and haven't got anything going from there.
Well, and I think, let's face it, as we sat here last Monday night, And blithely talked about the Canadian road trip that was going on. The Preds coming off a couple of impressive wins. We sat here and talked about that, and you really thought that the possibility at that point, you thought the possibility was, you know what, they may play a couple of weeks of games without crowds. We knew that was going to happen in Columbus last Saturday night. It was a potential for some other cities. It was a potential here in Nashville. But now you look at it, I mean, you have to think that everything turned on an NBA player actually being diagnosed. I mean, the world changed last Tuesday.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Right. As soon as Rudy Gobert was diagnosed with coronavirus, at that rate, everything stopped. And that's, you know, it's sad that that's what it took for everyone to take it seriously. I mean, I will, you know, raise my hand and say I was guilty of just being like, oh, it's just the flu, whatever, no big deal. I was 100% wrong on that, because this is a serious thing. It's extremely infectious. And honestly, if you look at it, we're about 10 days behind Italy, and they're not in good shape at all over there right now. So we do have to take this seriously and realize that it is probably going to get a little worse before it gets better and we can resume sports.
And the kicker becomes on this is that, you know, again, sports just takes a complete backseat.
Of course.
I mean, obviously.
Sure.
But, I mean, the reality is that, the real danger is to those folks, you know, 60 and older. That's the real danger in this. I mean, the reality is that, you know, younger folks might get a little sick, might get a little, you know, but the reality is the older folks, it could really, really be, you know, potentially, you know, lethal.
Yeah, I happen to like a lot of people over 60 and immunocompromised folk. So
occasionally. So, I mean, this is going to be a this is going to be interesting. We're going to keep going as long as we can be entertaining, at least here on Slapshot Radio, which some folks would say we probably should have stopped about 5 years ago. But anyway, we're going to talk with Jeff Merrick to get a taste of what's going on in Canada as well, what he's hearing up there. And then we're going to get into some really heated hockey talk, and that is favorite hockey movies and why. Okay, and I'm going to take it right off right now. Miracle is off the table right now. We've just went through a whole bunch of stuff with Miracle in the last month. Okay. So let's take that one off the table, and I'm looking for someone to go deep here. So we're going to talk about that tonight, too. It's all on Slapshot Radio tonight, brought to you by Day One Sponsor. I'm telling you, the only reason this show is on the air, whether that's a good thing or a bad thing in your mind, the premier sponsor of Slapshot Radio is Dr. Jane Bacon and Dr. Aileen Kruger over at Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. Man, they got a great staff, a comfortable environment, and I'm telling you, they are taking all the precautions necessary to make sure you are safe when you go there to get your dental needs taken care of. They sent out an email today just outlining all the safety features, everything that they're doing to make sure that your dental needs get taken care of in the most safe way possible. You need to check out their website at WeBrightonSmiles.com or call her for an appointment at 615-872-7762. That's 615-872-7762. Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. We Brighten Smiles. Oh, Max. Max starting out strong tonight. I like it. When you pull out a little Ray Charles to get it started, you got to love it. Slapshot Radio on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brent Peterson, Paul McCann, Zach McCann with you. And you know what? I mean, we were sitting here talking about, you know, we need to be entertaining tonight. You know, we don't have a whole heck of a lot of hockey to talk about. And, you know, the first person I thought about, well, he wasn't available. But I got Jeff Merrick instead. So, Jeff, I'm only kidding you, my friend. I kid because I love. Awesome. I love because I kid.
First of all, I have no idea what we're going to talk about. So this is wonderful. There's no games on. But have a good time, gentlemen. And that's cool. You know what I'm doing right now?
What are you doing right now?
So here's what I'm doing. So tomorrow, Elliot and I are doing another 31 Thoughts podcast. And we had a request on Twitter from an expat who now lives in Dubai, who's looking to go on a hockey game binge. He wants to go and search out a number of what we think are the best hockey games we've ever seen, or the most memorable games that we've ever seen. So I'm currently in the process of putting together. It's a harder challenge than you think. You'd think, like, oh, top five games. Yeah, it should just, you know, roll off your tongue and pour out of your brain. So I'm just trying to go through what I think. So I'm going to do five, and Elliot's going to do five.
Yeah,
and it's a tougher exercise than I thought it would be, because
just
go for how exciting the game is, how memorable it is, how much of a historical impact did the game have, and then you go back and spend a lot of time this week and going back and watching old games from the 70s, and a lot of them were like, you think that you know, that New Year's Eve game between the Montreal Canadiens and the Red Army was a great game and meant so much. History was kind to that game. It was not a very well-played game. People call it the greatest game, and the Russians think that Bob Gainey's the best hockey player of all time. Gainey was wonderful, but let's just say that history has been kind, gentlemen, to a lot of what we consider classic games.
So, well, I mean,
that's where I'm at today, guys.
You got to have Fight Night at the Joe on that list, right?
What's that?
I said you got to have Fight Night at the Joe on that list, right?
You know what? I haven't got to the NHL yet. Right now, I'm just doing international hockey and I'm sort of whittling it down.
Okay,
but that would be one.
Oh, absolutely.
That would be one. That is just pure. That was just pure entertainment. You know, I've always felt, Zach, that sports exist in that middle ground between what your head knows and your heart believes, or what your heart feels, and that fight night was right in between both. And because, like, you know, I'm a grown up. Like, we're all grown ups. You know. But I can't rationalize, you know, that night's worth of sports. but my heart can.
Oh, sure.
My heart's got no problem explaining that one. My head can't, but my heart sure can.
Well, yeah, yeah. I mean, you're looking at somebody that grew up watching the Broad Street Bullies, watching and loving the Broad Street Bullies. So, I mean, you know, I think of the Fog Game, I think of the Bat Game. I mean, you think of those mid-70s ones, but you are, you know, the funny thing about it is, Jeff, you're so right, because when NHL Network or when you get to YouTube and find a treasure trove of old hockey and you look at it and go, you know, it was better 40 years ago.
But at the same
time, you know what? The one thing that I will say, and, you know, Brent can talk about this because he played on the Sabres team. Whenever I go back and watch anything with the Buffalo Sabres and the French Connection, I just marvel. I just marvel at the way these guys played. Like, that to me, I look at it and I say, oh, you know what? These guys are way ahead of their time. The way they moved the puck, the things they did on the ice, this is outstanding hockey that's going to stand the test of time, no matter what era, what generation it was.
And you know what you talk about, though, Jeff? You talk about the French Connection line. You talk about some of these players. And when you hear, oh, the talent pool is diluted now, it is the biggest steaming pile of crap that you'd ever see. Because when you had each team, when it was a 12-team or a 14-team league, each team had a couple of good players, and maybe one or two teams were absolutely loaded.
That's a really good point. This pause in the schedule gives us a chance to reflect back and actually think about how we got here. So I think this is a fantastic point because of this. 1967, the NHL doubles, okay? Right. So the league goes from six teams to 12 teams. Then 1970, two more teams come in, Buffalo and Vancouver, and then two more in 72 and a couple of more in 1974. In the meantime, the WHA is peeling players away from the NHL. The entire young blue line of the Toronto Maple Leafs, whether it's Jim Dorey or Mike Pelech or Rick Lee, they're all taken from the Toronto Maple Leafs. And all the teams that bid against the WHA, whether it's the Boston Bruins, whether it's the Montreal Canadiens, the Philadelphia Flyers, the New York Islanders, they all went on to have success. Many turned into dynasties. The teams that didn't bid against the WHA and let their players go, those are the ones that struggled. But at the end of all of it, you looked at the NHL and you said to yourself, man, you expanded really fast. Paul, to your point, there's only a handful of real good players on every good team. And maybe we look at that era and we say to ourselves, we consider some of these players to be some of the greatest of all time. But were they not maybe just the best of a bunch when the NHL was maybe at its weakest point in history?
You know
what?
How
about that for hot take? How about that for hot take Monday?
You know what? I like it because if you think about it, I mean, you know, some of the players that you look back on as, you know, and you mentioned one earlier, Bob Gainey, certainly a fine player, okay? No question about that. But I don't know if he would have that same revered status in 2015, you know, at the same age, of course, and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, I mean, if he had that same career 2000 to 2015, is he still revered as much? And I don't know if he is.
Okay, let me take that one another step further. If Bob Gainey isn't playing on that Montreal Canadiens dynasty, if Bob Gainey is playing on the Minnesota North Stars, is he still in the Hockey Hall of Fame? Is Victor Tikhonov calling him the best two-way player of all time? I'm willing to guess the answer there is no.
Not that he was a
byproduct of that Habs team, but that Montreal Canadiens team elevated everybody, including Ken Dryden, who we all think is one of the greatest goaltenders of all time, although whenever he was peeled away from Montreal, namely in international competition, he struggled.
Yep.
That team raised up everybody on it. And I think Gainey's a great example of that, and I think Dryden's a great example of that.
That's a team that was
Larry Robinson. Larry Robinson can go play anywhere, and he would be, you know,
true.
Guy Lafleur.
True.
Go play anywhere, and he would be a star. I don't know that we would say the exact same thing about Bob Gainey or Ken Dryden.
That's the kind of team that they were greater than the sum of their parts.
100% true.
I really believe that. This went in a good direction. I like this.
Well, I think it's also interesting if you look at even the modern NHL, you know, obviously a much wider talent pool, 31, soon to be 32 teams, you know, if everything goes according to plan. And it does make you wonder, in more of a constricted league, if it was a 24-team league, you know, that sort of thing, what would you see in kind of those super teams nowadays? I mean, you still have them. I mean, you look at teams like the Tampa Bay Lightning, completely stacked almost from top to bottom. You see, you have one of the greatest lines in hockey history, I would think, in the Boston Bruins right now. That first line between Patrice Bergeron, David Pastrnak, and Brad Marchand is just absolutely ridiculous. And it does make you wonder, what would those teams be like if there was a smaller pool to dwell on?
Hockey would be that much more fantastic, wouldn't it? I mean, NHL has already NHL has already done a really good job sort of getting rid of some of the driftwood that used to wash up on shore each and every year, and every team carried usually an entire fourth line of them. Mm-hmm. They've done a really good job of that. I can only imagine, to Zach's point, what it would look like if the NHL, you know, wasn't a 31, soon to be 32 team league, but went back to the days when, geez, guys, remember it was like 21 teams and 16 made the playoffs, and you played in the Norris Division, you got 60 points, and you made the postseason.
Sure,
that'd be good news for the Red Wings right now.
Yeah, like what if the NHL was like that again?
Yeah, but
it's an interesting thing to pause on a Monday night.
You know what? I got to push back on that one though, because here's the thing that happens. I think that you find players that wouldn't have been found previously.
You would not have Austin Matthews.
You wouldn't have that's more of a geographical thing than anything
else. But grow the game.
It does, no question. But what I'm talking about is, would Patrick Hornquist be an NHL player right now and a two-time Stanley Cup winner?
No.
Would Pekka Rinne be in the National Hockey League right now?
Nope.
Goalies are different. I'm with you.
He's a seventh-round pick.
That's fine, but goaltending is I just don't think that the skill set that Patrick Hornquist has, like, let's face it, like, go to the net and chip it in. Like, I don't know. Sometimes when Hornquist is on the ice, I'm like, why are there corners on the puck? Like, what happened here? If we get rid of the round pucks, can someone give Patrick a round puck out there?
Oh, no,
I don't. I think if it was a shrunken NHL universe, I don't know there'd be a job for Hornquist, but I'm pretty sure there'd still be a job for Pekka Rinne.
But I mean, I guess the point is that, you know, because hockey has expanded as well. I mean, the pool of talent has expanded. Kids in Arizona are playing hockey now and not playing baseball. Kids in Dallas are playing hockey and not playing football. So, now, I mean, that has expanded that out. No question about
now,
that.
Now, to your credit, though, you know, talking about Bob Gainey earlier, I still think you have your Bob Gaineys in the NHL. I think, you know, you have your players. I think Chris Kunitz is a perfect example of a Bob Gainey-esque player, someone who is kind of that ride-along, who I think, you know, has an impressive resume on his own, but certainly was propped up by, you know, Sidney Crosby and that rest of that loaded Penguins team.
Hell, I could be propped up by Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin, for heaven's sake. It could be a pylon, stand in front of the net and go, just shoot it at me. It'll hit off me and I'm fine.
But I do truly believe that, you know, today's sports make tomorrow's tall tales. And I think you are seeing that right now. I think, you know, there's a Slapshot Radio 20 years down the line that's going to be talking about, do you remember Alex Ovechkin scoring 700 goals in the year that was shortened by the coronavirus? You know, that sort of thing. You're going to have those conversations.
I tell you what, Jeff, you got something started here. I like it.
Keep it going, boys.
I'm telling you.
It's like we have games to talk about. how the Preds going to do in the opening round against St. Louis? They just got Vlad Tarasenko back, but hey, Roman Josi's got a Norris Type Trophy season going.
There we go.
We don't have that to chew on, so we'll talk about the merits of Bob Gainey.
Absolutely. Hey, we are getting close to a break, but I want to ask you something as we go into our next break. We're going to be talking about favorite hockey movies. I need to know, what is your favorite hockey movie? And you're not allowed to say Miracle because we just spent a month talking about it.
When you ask me what my favorite hockey, Paul, you've known me for long enough.
Come on.
When you ask me what my favorite hockey movie is, what you should really be asking is, what's my second favorite hockey movie?
Yeah, okay. Besides Slapshot, what is your favorite hockey movie?
The first is obvious.
Of course.
Slapshot.
Look at Ned. He doesn't have to rely on hockey.
Oh, it's one of my favorite lines, though. He would never try that on Johnny. Oh, like all of them. Like every single scene. Every single scene is so good. Watch Ned. He's going to do something. Oh, like, it's so good.
I mean, just it's the line, so all I can get and what precedes it is the one that gets me.
Yeah,
so.
That's right. Dunlop.
So give me your second favorite then. Give me your second favorite.
You know what? I love Miracle. I really do. I think Miracle is such a fantastic movie. I would have to go Miracle. You know what? In the 70s, there was a movie called Face Off. It was a very obscure Canadian film.
Man.
And a lot of NHLers made cameos in it, most notably Johnny Bauer. I think Jim McKenney was in that one as well. That was kind of cute. But listen, man, Miracle's awesome.
That's
great.
Miracle is so good.
It is.
That to me is number two going away.
Well, he is the man we call the Hockey Renaissance Man. He is Jeff Merrick. You can catch his 31 Thoughts podcast with the incredible Elliot Friedman. You can also catch him on Sportsnet. And you can occasionally, when we can lasso him, we can get him. You know what? I bet we can get him on the show a lot more now.
Something tells me.
I have a lot of time, gentlemen. You just call. Chances are I'm free.
All righty. It's Jeff Merrick from Sportsnet. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us tonight. Good conversation, my friend.
Thanks, boys. Always good to be on with you guys.
All righty. Take care. It's Jeff Merrick from Sportsnet. Man, I tell you what, I love talking to him. He's a lot of fun. Hey, don't forget now, I want you to tell you about our man Carter Church over at Weikart Realtors, the Andrews Group. Now, let me tell you just a little bit about Carter. I'm telling you, this guy knows what he's doing when it comes down to real estate. I've gotten to know him a little bit as we work together with the Predators. Now, Carter's a Navy vet, has deep marketing experience that you need to get your home bought or sold in this market right now. And let's face it, this is an interesting market going on right now. Give him a call, 615-429-2044. That's 615-429-2044. Carter Church, your real estate expert, if you're buying or if you're selling, with Weikart Realtors, the Andrews Group. And we'll be right back right here on Slapshot Radio on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Oh, Max is on his game tonight. Man, oh, man. Ray Charles and now Elton John. I like it.
No. Ninth place for the Jets.
Slapshot Radio on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Paul McCann, Brent Peterson, Zach McCann coming at you with your normal hour of hockey lunacy. And, you know, I got to ask Brent, and I know Brent laid out that last segment because it's kind of hard sometimes to have two people on the phone. But, you know, Brent, I mean, he was talking a little bit about, you know, those late 70s, early 80s NHL. I'd like to get your take on that. I mean, you know, people talk about the talent level being diluted right now. What are your thoughts on that?
Diluted right now, I think it's great right now. We got every team has four lines, and every team has four great defensemen and two more that can play the game. And the goalies are way better than they were in the 70s. So right now, I think it's the toughest time of hockey because they got the parity they wanted. But when I played from 78 to 89, and how fortunate was I? I got to play against Dion, LaFleur, Mario Lemieux, Wayne Gretzky, Paul Messier. Who else? Those are the kind of guys I got to play in. Gordie Howe,
wow.
Bobby Orr, the 78. So it was tremendous. The guys I got to play with those 10, 11 years, I didn't play with. I played against most of them. I did get to play with, like he said, I got to play with Gilbert Perreault. It was unbelievable. You couldn't get the puck off Gilbert during practice. He just had it on his stick, and he just was in and out. He's an unbelievable player. And then he was talking about Bob Gainey, and you guys were all right. Bob Gainey was a good player because he played for Montreal. And if he would have played for Buffalo, he would have been a Brett Peterson, not a Bob Gainey. So that's what would happen.
Too funny. Well, you know what? We did want to talk about this. We've kind of teased this a little bit. And, you know, I do want to talk a little bit about our favorite hockey movies. Now, obviously, Jeff Merrick picked the two that, you know, ordinarily or normally in that at least top two or three. But, Coach, I'd like to know, if you want to sit down and watch a hockey movie, what do you watch?
Well, I you know, Miracle was good, and it's all true. Most of the events were true in the movie. But the one that I watch is still got to be Slapshot. And I was – because I got – when I was a rookie player for the Detroit Red Wings, I started on the fourth line, and my winger was Dave Hansen.
Oh, wow. That's
Dave
funny.
Hansen. He got beat up by by Nick Petito, who used to play here in Nashville when a long time ago, or coach here in Nashville. And Nick Petito beat him up one night, and he never saw Dave again in the NHL because he was a tough guy. He had to be a tough guy, and he wasn't as big as most of the tough guys were back then because, like Merrick said, he said they had four and five tough guys back then, and guys that can really play, like Stan Johnson and Winsink and Ken Hodge and all those kind of guys. They were tough players, and he just couldn't quite get up. So I only got to play with him for a couple of weeks. Then I broke a leg, and he went off somewhere else. So he was just on the other night. I was watching the NHL Network, and they were seeing some stuff shot, and they had interviewed him, and he was talking about when he first met Paul Newman and all these things. It was a great documentary about the movie, but I thought I had so many great lines in it. It was unbelievable.
Well, we're gonna. You know what? It's funny. Quite a few years back, we did do a two-part salute to Slapshot on Slapshot Radio. Speaking to Dave Killer Carlson, we've got some good interviews. You know, I may have to go back into the Slapshot Radio archives and pull some of that stuff out
because
it was there were some very, very good interviews on there, no question. And we actually interviewed one of the Hanson brothers as well. And good heavens, if you want to get Pete Weber going, just start quoting Slapshot lines, and he will be wound up and ready to rock and roll. So, okay. So, Zach, I'm going to go you. What would you call? Okay, I know we've already taken most of them.
Obviously.
But let's go deep.
A deep cut, one that, you know, obviously the first thing people are going to think about, Slapshot, Miracle, the Mighty Ducks trilogy, all that. I'm going to go for a deep cut.
Uh-oh.
Because where else can you see Jean-Claude Van Damme make a kick save on Tony Amani but in 1995 sudden death?
Oh, my. He went deep.
This is a movie which involves Jean-Claude Van Damme hanging from the rafters trying to save the vice president in Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final from a villainous Powers Booth.
And if I'm not mistaken, it did take place at the Igloo in Pittsburgh.
I was just going to say, is that the Igloo, right?
Absolutely, it was.
And the funny thing about it is that movie did show off a feature of the Igloo that was never really used, because that roof did have the capability to open. God only knows why they built it with a roof that opens. But literally, that roof did have the capability of opening, and they did show that in that movie. Sudden Death, good.
It's not a good movie, it's a fun movie, and that's really what's important on that.
Neither is Goon, but Goon's a fun movie.
Absolutely.
You know, but okay.
What about yours?
I'm going to go there, and look, we've already said a lot of the favorites. You know, you talked about the Mighty Ducks. I'm surprised Youngblood didn't come up in this at some point. But I'm going to say one. I just watched it a couple of nights ago, and it is one of my favorites. It's probably number three on my hockey list, but it's got to be Mystery Alaska.
I had a feeling you were going there.
I love that movie. I mean, look, I know Russell Crowe can't skate. I get that. Okay, that's fine. But from the storyline behind it to some of the cameos, I mean, I'm sorry, but Mike Myers is a Don Cherry ripoff. Is absolutely hysterical.
Little Richard doing the anthem. I mean, come on.
I mean, so that's mine right there. I like Mystery Alaska a lot. It's I know it's one of Denise's favorite movies as well. She loves that one. But what's funny is that you don't realize, though. I mean, Brent, there's actually quite a few good hockey movies out there.
No, absolutely.
I mean, we've just talked about them. But I mean, there's a few more out there that you can go into as well. I mean, you can go into Slapshot 2 and Slapshot 3.
But why would you?
I mean, because as good as Slapshot is as bad as Slapshot 2 is,
right.
And as bad as Slapshot 2 is compared to Slapshot 3.
We don't even want to talk about it.
I think that went direct to video bargain bin.
Yeah, it was bad.
I don't even think it was released, but it was, You know,
another one that doesn't get a ton of press that I think is a really, really well-done movie, The Rocket, the Maurice Richard story from 2005. Really, really good biopic of Maurice Richard. You know, excellently paced, takes you right back to the 50s with that. I think it's really, really excellent.
I would also recommend there's a Gordie Howe story that came out just, Mr. Hockey a few years ago that was really, really well done. So, I mean, look, you need your hockey fix. There are some ideas for you so you can go out and just, you know.
Red Army or the Russian Five, two good ones, too.
You know what? Those are actually, there's two of them, and we've had the directors of a couple of good movies. Red Army is, and Brett, have you seen that? Have you seen Red Army?
You know what? I haven't seen a lot of these because I guess I just, I don't watch games on our TV unless they're real good.
Now's the time.
I did like Mystery Alaska, but I haven't heard any of these movies. I haven't even heard of any of them. I know there's a lot of documentaries that are really good, but
yes,
as a movie, I don't know how good they really were.
Well, I'll tell you what. Red Army is a story of the Russian hockey team that was beaten in 1980, and it's phenomenal to watch how they were treated, how they trained. I mean, they go deep on Viktor Tikhonov. They go deep into the Russian, the Russian style of training and what these guys went through. It's really, really fascinating. Interviews with all of the big guys, with Tretiak, with all of these guys. They also talk about the Russians coming over to the Red Wings in the 90s. Really, really interesting. You might want to give that one a shot. One other one you may want to give a listen to as well. It's the California Golden Seals story. Expansion team in the 70s, a couple of years, owned by the incredible Charlie O. Finley of the Oakland A's. They are of the White Skates. Really interesting stuff. Another one to take a look at. We've got one more segment to go here on Slapshot Radio. I got to get to a break. So you stay right there, and we'll be right back right here on Slapshot Radio, ESPN Radio, 102.5 The Game. And Max gets the hat trick. Yes, indeed. I mean, he went, you know, you'd see that he went 60s, went 80s.
Yeah, good music there tonight.
I like it. He did all right tonight. Slapshot Radio, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. Feeling the good vibrations. Paul McCann, Brent Peterson, Zach McCann coming at you. And I do want to bring up a couple of things right off the bat. First off, just because you are at home right now, okay, just because you can't get out of your house doesn't mean you can't have a cocktail, okay? Now, if you need some supplies, our friends at Cool Springs Wines and Spirits, they deliver. I'm telling you, you need to call them. Free delivery on bulk orders. There's simply not a better choice. Cool Springs Wines and Spirits. Call them at 615-771-7436. That's 615, write it down, 771-7436 for all your adult beverage requirements during this period of self-quarantine that we're going through here in America. And also, hey, you know what? You don't have to stop shopping for furniture either. Lazy Boy has an incredible website that you can shop on, pick out your furniture, have it delivered. I'm telling you, you might want to check them out. This is a good time to take a look around your house and go, you know what? I think I need a new Lazy Boy recliner or a new Lazy Boy table. That's what I think. Anyway, so and there's one other thing I do want to shout out. I just saw a tweet from Dierks Bentley. And it looks like he is shutting down Whiskey Row. Thank you for being responsible, Dierks. But he's shutting it down for the time being. But he is also fronting every one of his 90 employees $1,000 right off the bat to cover it. I mean, you know what? Dierks, you know, you make us proud that you're a Preds fan, my friend. Good for you. It's the right thing to do.
And I also want to shout out, you know, especially with the three of us and you and I, especially being part-time employees of the Nashville Predators. Good on the Predators for doing the right thing and being one of the first teams to announce that they were going to take care of game night staff and everyone involved in that as well. Because, you know, there are a lot of teams out there who aren't doing that, who have billionaire owners who are not taking care of their people and instead leaving it to GoFundMes and the players to do, which, you know, I just want to say a lot of respect to Sean Henry and the crew over at 501 Broadway for doing that as well. You know, these are times where we all got to band together and take care of people.
Absolutely.
And didn't the players become a part of that too?
And they did.
The first hockey players team that's done that too. And so it sort of changed a lot of the minds around the NHL, and they sheepishly came back and said, yeah, we'll do it. We don't really want to, but we'll do it. But Sean Henry and his group have been fantastic to me, and they're good to a lot of people, and they're taking care of those people, and the players are an integral part of that.
No question about now. Now, Zach, you wanted to go someplace on this segment. You wanted to talk about a few things.
You know, it's obviously pretty hard to find some silver linings right now in the sports world, but I think they are there. And I think that this break, however long it's going to be, is going to be good for these players, because if you look at players who have been a little banged up, they're going to come back and have a chance to actually nurse some of these injuries. Players who we look at, like a Victor Arvidsson, who we see has been hurt, you know, several times this year. Even, you know, a Philip Forsberg or a Matt Duchene, those players who seem like they've had a step lost since, you know, getting that House of Fire start at the beginning of the year. I think that this is going to lead to better hockey widespread around the league down the road. You're going to have teams at actual full strength be able to compete when they come back.
What do you think about that, Coach? Does Zach have a good point?
I totally agree, except for one thing. If it goes too long, then it's a detriment to the team. But if it goes, if it went a month, and you could start May 1st, maybe, mm-hmm. or even April 15th, it would be a benefit to a lot of guys that have Dixon bruises and they just lost their skating legs, and they're going to get it back, and they can work harder every night. But I think it's going to be a long term lockout. And or not lockout, but little
pause
time.
Yeah,
and pause, mm-hmm. and then I think that they're gonna go like 3-4 games in 5 nights to start every season. That might hurt.
Yeah, and then everyone's gonna get hurt.
Yeah, exactly. So, but I think you're right. If it's only gonna be a month is not too long a time. I know we had those 3 weeks that every time they had the Olympics for those years, and we were fine in that. But I think if it goes 2 months from now. Like, I was real optimistic till today when the president came out and he said, you know, they're going to do this and that, and it's going to take at least 2 weeks. The doctors all said it's going to take at least 2 weeks. And we haven't even spiked the number of people that are sick or affected or even, you know, had any kind of problems so far. So we got at least 2 weeks ahead of us, at least, and then another week of trying and skating. So we're 3 weeks out, and we haven't even got going yet. So I'm a little bit worried about the season at all. But if we start in a month or even 6 weeks, I think it'll really help the players who are banged up quite a bit too.
Does it
help
players
banged up?
Does it help them from you know? I know it helps them from a physical standpoint. Just wondering if it helps a little bit of a help of push the reset button from a mental standpoint, exactly, and really kind of almost clear the machine for the new for the new coaches' systems to be able to really take hold.
I totally agree. I think it'll be great for the Predators. Because they start so fast, and then they just didn't have enough momentum to. We started like a lightning. I mean, we were 9-3-2 and going great, and then all of a sudden we hit the road there. On that October 31st came around, we lost in late to the Calgary Flames. We were never good until maybe 10 games into John Hines' tenure here. So, we're just starting to play well. And I'm really happy that we got into the top eight, because I don't know how they're going to pick who's going to be in the playoffs, but. If it's just going to be 16, then we're in for sure.
Well, if you look at it, I'm sorry, if you look at just pure speculation at this point, I mean, there's a couple of things that make sense. One of them is that, you know what, we've played almost 70 games as an average. Where it is right now, take the points percentage, it's in the rules, it's in the standings, it's defensible, it's easy, and no one can say, well, they did it because you didn't know that was going to go then. You thought maybe there was going to be more games going.
And at that rate, that feels like the most prescient thing to do is just do points percentage.
Now, if they want to do a play-in game, you know, if they want to take the 8 seed and the 9 seed in each conference and do a play-in game a la March Madness, I'm okay with that.
Let's just do that from now on.
That
anyway.
Doesn't
That'd
bother
be great.
Me. I actually love that idea.
I love the idea because it adds one more city to the fan base that love to see playoffs and likes loves a winner, and they call anybody that makes the playoffs a winner in the NHL. So I love that idea.
So you've got that coming. You've got and I think there are a couple of teams that that benefit from the kind of layoff that we're talking about, that month to 6 week layoff. I think the St. Louis Blues benefit from it.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I think the Vancouver Canucks really benefit from that because there's a good chance that Markstrom's back by the time they get back on the ice. That's huge for Vancouver.
Tampa Bay, you know, they get Steven Stamkos back hopefully at that point.
And so does Colorado gets a pretty good, some couple good players back. They get Rendon back.
McKinnon.
And then the other team I was looking at was, oh, Vancouver, you already talked about them.
Yep.
And there was one more team that has been banged. Oh, Columbus Blue Jackets have been banged up all year.
Yeah.
I don't know whether they'll get anybody back, but they certainly are playing well for as banged up as they were.
So you look at that, and you know, I'm sorry, but I really believe that break, again, Brent, your point is fully taken. If it's more than 6-8 weeks, then yeah, I'm not so sure about it. But if it's in that 6 to 8 week range, I think you have a chance of seeing the, you know, I'm sorry, but I remember the playoffs after the lockout season, the last, that was a great playoff season.
It was awesome.
It was, yeah.
And I think that less wear and tear on the players' bodies, I think is going to make a huge difference, again, if we get to it.
And it does make the case for the next CBA, you know, about maybe shortening the season. I mean, 82 games for the way that the NHL is played is a lot.
You know,
I don't know if you're ever going to see it, especially because you don't want to lose that revenue. And I mean, let's be honest, the salary cap's going to be obliterated at this rate next year.
Going to be interesting to see what happens with the salary cap.
But it is something to say. I mean, you know, obviously, yes, baseball, you know, they play 160, but we're not talking about, you know, baseball. This is the equivalent of football contact 82 times a year.
Well, don't you think that the hockey, the lockout, or not the lockout, but the cap's going to go down, has to go down?
Absolutely, it has to.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's based on last year.
It's all based on income, right?
Yeah, it's based on revenue. Most of that revenue has been realized. I don't think you see the hit, honestly.
Until 2 years from now.
I think you see it in 21-22 is when I think you see it.
And I mean, does the expansion from Seattle, even if they can still
may cover that.
Yeah, it may cover it, but at the same time, you look at what Seattle's going through right now and it makes you wonder, you know,
do they delay it a year?
Yeah, are they gonna be able to do it that year?
Or do they look at it as, you know, I'm sorry, but I look at the game after the tornadoes here as something that Nashville desperately needed.
Yeah.
And you know, hey, we're still here. We're getting through this. And that could be something that you see in Seattle as well.
Could be.
Well, look what happened. Look what happened in Vegas last year during the concert that happened there.
True. Very true.
They had a great start, and they ended up going right to the final that year. But, I mean, they started all the things. You know, Vegas strong and all that kind of stuff.
Absolutely.
It was really a big motivator for him starting the year out.
Well, Brent, stay hunkered down, my friend. That's going to do it for this one tonight. For Brent Peterson, for Zach McCann, I'm Paul McCann. Thanks for joining us on Slapshot Radio. We're back next week at 7 p.m. A big thank you to Jeff Merrick for joining us tonight from Sportsnet. And a big thank you to our sponsors, Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry, Carter Church from Weikart Realtors, the Andrews Group, your real estate agent in Murfreesboro and Nolensville, Cool Springs Wines and Spirits on Moores Lane in Cool Springs. Don't forget, they deliver. You make sure you call them for all your adult beverage needs at 615-771-7436. Or make sure you talk about our good friends at Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries. You can check them out at lazyboy.com. They've got 3 locally owned Middle Tennessee locations. Andrew and the group will take good care of you. When you visit one of our sponsors, make sure you tell them you heard about them on Slapshot Radio and thank them for their support. For our producer, Mighty Mighty Max, our co-host Brent Peterson and Zach McCann, I'm Paul McCann saying good night and good hockey.
What's up, Oos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.